All here to the house of the Lord. It's good to see so many faces. Last week was a little sparse. We had some sickness and a lot of people traveling, so it's good to have everyone back. And it's good to have our brother back. Just came back from our youth camp, so I know myself, when I get back from youth camp, I always have some thoughts and things to say, so hopefully our brother feels the same way. So I see he's got some things back here. I think he's got some ideas, so I ask that you would give him your attention and you say a prayer for our brother. I'll give you our brother, Elder Gary Jacobson.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. All those that are live streaming, welcome as well. And I'm, like Aaron said, yeah, I'm glad to be back. It was a wonderful time at camp, always is. And I especially enjoyed the time that we have to be able to bring the youth together and to be able to separate ourselves and to focus on the things that are important in our life, and especially our spiritual walk, be able to provide some encouragement, some guidance, have some fun, share good times and experiences. And it is very, very tiring. It is. It's difficult and challenging, but yet again, it's so rewarding. And this time on our way home, we had some additional challenges that took place. It took us a lot longer to get home the first day, and it was taxing on my body personally. And I'm getting older, and it did things that laid me up on Sunday. I had to have my foot up in air from swelling from the drive, my toe, my ankles, and the ball of my foot. Some weird things were going on, but you know, such is life, where things go on every day. And it's just how we deal with it, how we take those things and care for them properly. And I know that in all things, God cares for his children and takes care of us properly with our heart in the right place. And I say that with our heart in the right place, because one of the things with going to camp this year, I wanted to make sure that my heart was in the right place. And one of the things I did this year with intent was to be able to observe all the campers and to see how they were interacting, how they were participating. And a lot of times we were saying that, you know, despite the weather, despite the heat, the humidity, that it's how we engage and how we act with them that really, truly puts those things aside and, you know, gets us involved. And the weather is something that we just deal with wherever we go, as we know from last night. We dealt with quite the weather, but going there with my heart in the right place was very important to me, because I wanted to be sure that I gave all I got to the camp itself. And one of the things that Bob did was he really made it challenging for me. My brother-in-law, he couldn't make it there. So I taught basically three classes a day. But the one thing that really stood out to me was when Bob came up to me. And I was just laughing and laughing, because he asked me to be in charge of the serious campfire Thursday night. And I looked at him with a funny look and I said, "You're asking this guy to be in charge of the serious campfire, because at camp I'm probably right there with all the youth doing the things that they're doing." And I said, "Bob, do you know that you're gonna break me if you have me do this?" And he says, "Don't worry, I'll put you back together." And I was like, "I know you will, Bob. Just bring some duct tape and we'll be all good. You can put me back together." But you know, really, when I had that opportunity, and I'm so thankful for it, because you know, We do get stretched to our limits, but having that right attitude, that right heart in doing so, it really is truly rewarding. And having the opportunity to be in charge of that service, it was so heartfelt. And I was so grateful for it, because I guess you can't put it into words. I was sitting up front, and some of the songs that we sung, and the campers being in all in one accord, their voices, and it was coming, and it was in the lunchroom, the cafeteria, and it was focused, and it was like just brought to me, and it was just so really overwhelming of how beautiful it sounded. And it kind of just all-encompass, the whole camp itself, and my attitude that I had for it. And I was just really so thankful to be able to be a part of that and to experience that. And, you know, my heart was really filled from that whole adventure. It was truly an adventure. And, you know, it's one of those things that I took to heart, and I really wanted to provide some words of encouragement, and the Lord has given me some scriptures, and I wanted to share that with you. And so I wanted to start off in Matthew chapter 5 and just read one of the Beatitudes. It's verse 8. And it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And so, you know, a lot of times I was thinking about that, the pure in heart, and blessed are they, and they shall see God. And I was thinking about that. And a lot of times we go through our daily lives and, you know, people ask, "How you doing?" You know, "I'm doing fine. I'm doing good. Everything's good." But really, we could have those battles that are going on with inside of us, and our heart isn't truly in the right place. And it's not pure all the times. And I look at the scriptures, and I was reading it, and I was getting this understanding that, you know, Jesus is concerned with us all together, but our heart is truly something important to him, you know, and it's not the physical condition, so to speak, of our heart. It's where it's at. It's where our heart is. It's our emotions, our attitude, our outlook, and what's going on inside of us. And as I was reading and I was looking into that and I was studying, you know, this is something that Jesus was really having a difficult time with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was having a very difficult time with them because obviously on the outside and by the book, they were doing everything accordingly. But he was telling them on the inside, everything's all wrong. You know, it's all wrong. And we look at how the Pharisees, they basically put themselves above people in all of their actions, what they did. They were following the commandments of the law to the book, to the T. But, you know, some of the things that they did, you know, was put themselves above people and separated themselves from the common folks, you know, the people with everyday issues, you know, that really needed to have that support, to be able to have people in place to be able to lift them up, you know, what Jesus was teaching, you know, how to deal with people and why we needed to deal with people, because that is the love of God. And that's what God wanted us to do. We need to forgive people. And Jesus was the perfect example of that. And it's some of the things I wrote down here is that he ate with the unclean. He washed the feet of his disciples. He forgave the woman, the adulterous woman. He dealt with the taxpayers. He wanted that example to be set of who he was and the power that he had to show the submissiveness and the will of his Father for everybody. And that is something that he truly did. That is an example that he gave to everybody. He worked with the people. He sat and he ate with them, with the tax collectors, all those people. He wanted to portray that image and have that spread throughout everybody, to where the Pharisees, they felt that as if it was a threat. You know, they felt that they were being brought down to a different class of people. But Jesus was saying, no, these are the people that we need to work with, that we need to engage with, that we need to sit with, that we need to talk to. And so I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 23, and you can read verses 1 through 28, but I'm going to read just verses 1 through 12, and then I'm going to jump down through 25 through 28. And then this is where, you know, Jesus is really displaying this as far as, you know, his concerns of where the heart is. And it says in we'll start in verse 1, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do." You know, they're teaching. do what they teach you, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. So their outward appearance, you know, they're perfect. They're perfect, picture perfect people in display. They're being that stereotypical what God wants us to be, but on the inside, they're doing nothing. And it says, and they and love the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the market and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, all ye our brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is the greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. In dealing with this life that we have and the situation that we were in and the opportunities that were there at this camp, you know, one of the things that really I wanted to express to the kids was that we're here to serve you, to show you, to encourage you, to be able to provide you a path to a good life. And Jesus is walking us through that through his word, through his gospel. He's showing us exactly what it is we need to do that helps us be able to have that spiritual purity, that purity of heart, to be able to show us that being a servant is so much more powerful than being a master. And it has truly taken place in my heart when I was there, because despite getting up early in the morning, staying up late, preparing for classes, trying to be on time for classes, you know, you're just running around like crazy. I had a fun experience with that. Joel brought to me. It was comical. You had to be there. I was actually late to a class because I got the schedule messed up. I was going back to the bullpen, the cabin where we were staying, to attend to some things. And turns out I was actually looking at the schedule wrong. But it's a nonstop activity. And, you know, I look at all the effort that was put into that and trying to be there, trying to be an example. And even in doing so, I faltered, you know, and in life, that's going to happen as well. You know, I've faltered time after time again. And a lot of it is when I'm thinking about myself and putting myself before others, and Christ is the perfect example that teaches us not to do that. And so if you continue to read on between verses 12 and 25, he really gets on the case of the Pharisees. He really lays it into them because, you know, he wants the right things to be done. He wants them to do the right thing. But what is it? They're looking out after themselves for their own personal gain. So I'm going to jump down to verse 25. And he continues on, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," and this is with exclamation point, "for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all of uncleanliness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquities." And, you know, this is Christ telling him that these are very, very powerful words. And these are words that really have had an impact on me recently, because, you know, this is the last thing that I want my Lord and Savior to be saying to me is, you know, what is going on with you? You know, your outward appearance is all this, but you need to fix what's on the inside, and you need to have those things in order in your heart so you can express all those things that I teach you to others, so that you could be fruitful for me, so that you can provide guidance and direction, so that you can show the youth the way, so they can see that how rewarding it is when you follow after the footsteps of Christ. And so focusing on the inside, that's the key, because our heart, and I was just telling our kids, my students at the Sunday school class this morning, that, you know, our heart is something, and on the inside is we have all these battles that are going on constantly, all these outside influences that cause stress within our life, all these things that change our thought processes, how we interact with other people, all these things we battle against. And this is tough. This is a struggle that we have within ourselves, because a lot of times we want to just express exactly what we're feeling at that moment, but we got to be careful of that, because, you know, those things can lead to problems. And so in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." And so that's where we start. That's where we begin. You know, we know, the scriptures tell us, the Lord knows what's on our heart. We just have to open our heart. We have to give our heart over to God, and he will help us be able to correct that. I look at that, and, you know, there's circumstances that we're involved with every day. I deal with it at the airport all the time. There's things that are just crumbling apart, and it causes a lot of stress. And I have people coming into my office all the time that are just, man, they're all worked up. They're all excited. And, you know, the Lord has really taught me, let's just slow down. Let's calm down. You know, what is the problem? Let's put it on the table. Let's try to mitigate the issue. Where are we going to go from here to fix it? And a lot of that I have learned because the gospel, the scriptures have taught me that. They have taught me how to be able to handle those situations. And I look at it and I compare it to, you know, I changed oil in my car, my Suburban, the kids' cars, I helped them with that. And so I look at that whole system of changing oil. You know, changing oil is imperative to the function of a mechanical components within your engine. And if we change the oil, yeah, that's great. But you got a filter that you need to change too. And I look at that as if our heart is the filter. You know, we could take in all these good things, but if we don't change our heart, the circumstances that surround us are not going to change. We're going to keep ourselves in that same spot, because if you don't change the filter, it doesn't really do it. It'll do a little good for a little bit, but that filter is causing restrictions. It's collecting all those things that build up that could cause harm to the engine. That's what it's designed for. So is our heart. Our heart can capture all those things. But if we don't change it, if we don't get a new heart, if we don't put those words of God within ourselves, in our heart, you know, it's always going to be in the wrong place. It's always going to be struggling. It's not going to do everything that God can create it and have it do. You know, especially when it comes to our approach on circumstances, our attitude with the given circumstances, all these things, if we really turn our heart over to God, the way that we perceive things will change. Our actions will change. Our temperament will change. We'll do those things that God has taught us to do in the gospel. I'm going to go. I was doing a little more studying this morning. I woke up and I already printed this out. I wrote it on the side. I'm going to go to Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 20-23. And I got the app here, so I'm going to go in the app. And there it is. I have a harder time finding things on an app than I do. Everything's abbreviated. Let's go there. 18:20-23. And I wanted to read these few verses here. It says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he committeth, and keep my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. And his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live?" And so that's we need to have that change within us. Those changes within us will put us in different situations, and the circumstances will be different if our heart changes. It's important that we do that. It's difficult sometimes to do that, but you know, I believe, and the Lord has proven to me that making those changes always takes you to a better place. The Lord's looking out for his children. He has that watchful eye over you. He sees what's going on in your heart. And if you're willing to open it, he's there to be able to make those changes, help you make those changes. And so I wanted to read, I'm going to go from there into Mark chapter 7, sorry, read verses 14-16. And it says, "And when he called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." Are we willing to listen to God, to let him be able to give us that direction, the discernment, the ability to submit to him and understand what it is he's trying to do? You know, on the outside, we can look like a perfect picture Christian, but it's really the influence that we have on others, the attitude we have towards others from the inside. Those are the things that are important to God. And whether you know, we stand and we stand up for the gospel, we need to show that by example through the things that God teaches us. And so, you know, I struggle with that all the time, but it's something that I know, having that open heart to God and letting him work within me, you know, those things will change. Those things will be taught. You know, we could be taught the same thing over and over and over again. And if our heart's in the right place, we'll grow from that. We'll understand those things that we need to change, and we'll make those changes. But if we keep everything the same, we'll struggle day in, day out. We'll always be circling back around to the same attitude that we've had, to the same perception of how we see the world around us. But with God, he opens our eyes, he opens our heart, and he helps us be able to help, or helps us be able to stop doing those things that we always get caught up in our emotions, in our attitude. He helps us be able to have the right attitude. He puts that love in our hearts in place. So I wrote this down, and it's because we traveled so many miles. I'm getting too old to travel so many miles. It was 2,800 miles there and back. And it was, and that was basically, when I got to camp, I parked the car and didn't get back in it until we left to go home. But, you know, one thing I was thinking about, you know, we cover all these miles, and the ministry does it too. The missionaries out in the field, they cover all these miles to reach out to people and to bring this gospel to them. But one thing I want everybody to know, that if you're not serving the Lord in that fashion, if you're not out there and you're not covering hundreds and thousands of miles day in, day out, months throughout the year, remember that you don't have to go somewhere to see God. You know, you see God by who you are and what's on the inside. That's when you see God, and that where your heart is, you'll be able to see his work, see what he's doing. Yeah, there's ministry that's called to physically go out in the world and do the things they do, but God calls everyone to do what he calls us to do. And it's all from the heart. That's where it all starts. So, you know, traveling all that way and back, yeah, it's super rewarding, but to know that I could be right here and doing the same thing and having my heart in the right place, being a pure heart with God, we know that he'll provide work to do. We know that he'll give us the words to say, to uplift, to encourage, to be able to administer the word, the gospel, to those that desire and need to hear of it. There's so many people that need to hear the word of God, of the Lord. And that's one thing I noticed when I was observing all the young campers, is that this is something that is so good to the Lord. He sees this in the work that's going on, and it's so good. He sees it and he knows it. And you know it as well when you're observing and your eyes are open to it. And there's this need for that, to be able to engage with these young adults and to show them that life can be very blessed. It can be very good, despite your upbringing, despite your background. Carve your own path. Let God lead the way in that path, and he will show you how blessed it can be. And so I'm going to read in John chapter 14, 1 through 7, because these were some of the words of encouragement that I wanted to share, that the Lord put on my heart. Let not your heart be troubled. This is verses 1 through 7. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. So all these things are summed up. The Jesus is the way, is the truth, and the life. And if we go, wherever we are, God is with us. If our hearts are there, allowing him to be there, if we're open to him. And, you know, how do I know that God is with us? How do I know that he is working with me? You know, I marvel at that sometimes, how quick the Lord is to prove that he is there with you. No matter what the situation, the place that you're at, if you call upon the Lord, he's there. He gave us his spirit to be there. So I wanted to do this experiment. But I'm gonna share this with you as well. So Absolute Truth is one of the classes I teach. It's the age group, 13-year-olds, and we do experiments, and I really like doing the experiments. It's pretty cool. And the kids, you know, one of the things I wanted to make sure of this year was that I just didn't do the experiment. I wasn't the guy that the campers had. I call them kids. I'm just kidding. too old. But the campers did it themselves. So they felt, they touched, they learned that they did, they performed this, and that it was proving to them that God does things. We related it to that, how he works with us, his spirit, how it's within us. And so Aaron and I were laughing at the beginning of the service. I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea with this, but I'm going to do this experiment here. And, you know, this is a representation of our heart. And this is a pretty basic experiment, but it really gave the example of how God's Spirit works within us. You know, purity of heart, the white candle, the white part of the candle, the fire within the candle is all the things that's burning up inside of us, right? And these things here, this here, it's the baking soda, are the trials and the troubles of life that go into our body, right? And I don't want to put too much in there. Might be a mess to clean up. But I hope everybody can see this. I will stand off to the side. But, you know, we have all this stuff burning up inside of us. And deep within, we have a pure heart. We want our heart to be pure. But, you know, we can't do it ourselves. So we rely on God to do these things for us. And so what God does is he comes with his spirit. And these are all the troubles that are going on that we're battling with that's inside of us. And when God brings his spirit in our lives and we keep them inside of us and we let these things settle in, I hope you can see that there was a reaction. The reaction is settling down, such as our life with turmoil. We have God's spirit in our life now. And we take those things, that spirit of God and what he's done in our life, and we put them out. And I didn't pour the liquid on the flame. When you do it yourself, you can really see it. It was probably too low, Hanjay. Sorry. But basically, what has happened was when you introduce vinegar to baking soda, it has a reaction and it creates CO2, carbon dioxide. And that carbon dioxide creates a gas. Gas is heavier than air. So therefore, you got to contain it. And then once it settles down, it's like weighted, so to speak, and it settles. And then basically, the campers would pour that gas, which you cannot see, onto the fire and extinguish it. And, you know, it's a good little life lesson. The Lord's Spirit in our life. When we have all this turmoil, when we have this fire going on with inside of us, the Lord wants to introduce his spirit into us and help us extinguish that. And when we extinguish it, we're left with that pure heart. You know, the white was a representation of the pure heart. And so God can do that. He proves that to us. And, you know, we talk about the small, still voice, right? We talk about that, how it works with inside of us. We feel his presence, you know. It's kind of like a gentle breeze at time that comes over us. You know, we really need to find that peace in our lives. And God brings that gentle breeze into our lives. And sometimes, you know, God really wants to get something across to us. You know, sometimes he's like trying to blow you in a certain direction. Like, don't do that, you know. And sometimes it's like an F5 tornado. Like, what are you, crazy? You know, I need you to get out of there. It's danger. But God knows. He knows our heart. And he puts his spirit out there for us to be able to have and to know of him. And it shows us. And so having that pure heart, working towards that pure heart, is something that shows God that we're devoted to him. We want him in our lives. We want to see these things. We want to see these changes. And he'll do that for us because he loves us. And you know, the Lord Jesus, he said, the neighbor, love your neighbor. And first love God, then love your neighbor. And when we start doing this, we're starting the whole cleansing process. We're starting to put our heart in the right place. And all these changes start happening. You know, when we change our heart towards Jesus, it's kind of like we're coming to his altar and we're placing our heart before the altar. You know, there used to be sacrifices in times of old. They used to sacrifice for the sins that they committed. But really, now it's our heart. We give our heart to God. And all those things that we do, if we surrender to God, he will truly, truly, his promise, he will lift us up. 3 Nephi chapter 4, I'm going to read 42 and 43 in verses 48 and 49. And this is Christ speaking. Yea, verily, I say unto you, if you will come unto me, ye shall have eternal life. Behold, my arm of mercy is extended towards you, and whosoever will come, he will I receive, and blessed are they which shall cometh unto me. And I had a slide for our theme, and it was of a young lady that was repelling. She was climbing a mountainside, and she was hanging, you know, and we talked about that. If we're ever in that situation to where it's a life-changing moment and we desperately need God, we got to remember that his arm of mercy is extended toward us, and whosoever will come I will receive. And so if you're in that desperate situation, think of that verse and think of God's hand reaching out of the cloud, and all we got to do is just reach up. And it's a faith-based effort. And there's other scriptures that can back that up. Joel and Bob talked about Timothy and God visiting them after his resurrection. And it's so true. But we have to put the effort there. And we have to reach out to him. So always keep that in your heart, in the back of your mind. Whatever the given situation is, that you could reach out to God and he is there for you. He says he will come. 48 and 49, I am the light and the life of the world. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And you shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away. For I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings. And you shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And that is the step. That is the first step in our walk with God, is to understand there's a submissiveness that we have to go through. And there's that humble understanding of where we're at and why we're there, but knowing that God is there and can bring us to higher places. He tells us that. He shows us that. He's always willing to. One of the things is, you know, just with the campers and that absolute truth class is, you know, experiment with God, you know, put it out there, put your heart out there, you know, open up to him, and he will prove to you, no matter what, he will prove to you, if your heart's in the right place, that he is there and he's present. And so that's the message I have for today. I hope that these are some words of encouragement. I hope that all of you see that, again, you don't have to travel thousands of miles to do the Lord's work, especially in the places that you do work, and your schools, and all those places that you engage with people. The Lord's work is done through our heart. You know, we need to make sure that the heart is pure before God, and we'll see his work. And please glorify God in all those doings, because he so much deserves it. He's done so much for all of us that it's incomprehensible what the amount of debt that we have that cannot be repaid. But the Lord doesn't require much. He just requires little bits and pieces out of our lives, and that desire to serve him. So God bless. I thank you for the time and appreciate this opportunity to share these experiences with you.